Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tonight, in what could be their final game ever at Oracle Arena, they score their biggest win here. So dominant, so impressive, so overwhelming, it's going to make people wonder if maybe it's not their final game at Oracle Arena.
Near circle to Brust, centers, backhand, they score!
Your night last night in reverse order. Both of our guys. First, you heard Celtics. You heard Sean Grandy with the final call.
Yeah, she got
at Oracle Arena.
Yeah, she got both broadcasts in, right?
And then
on
you
the
heard
Sports Hub.
Judd Surratt. You heard Judd Surratt over at the Garden.
He
in a very physical game.
Backhand! They score!
A hell of a night. I watched both games start to finish. I didn't think that was going to happen. It did. I thought there would have been an opportunity to check out on the Celtics.
I thought they were going to get
didn't
smoked.
Happen. Polar opposite of that.
You're angry and
polar
happy.
Polar opposite of that.
Aren't you angry and happy at the same
Harsham,
time about
yes.
the Celtics?
Yeah, and I totally
like,
get
has that.
That
been?
You get angry because you say, see, this is what you're capable of when you give a damn. But we'll leave that to the side.
What time we have the coach today? 12:50?
12:50, yeah. Brad Stevens.
I bet he didn't sleep much because he's like, where the hell was that at?
So, last night, the Celtics woke up, at least for a night. They played their ass off. If you didn't make it to the Celtics game, if you didn't stay up late, maybe you didn't catch the entire game, maybe you only caught a portion of the game, but they played their ass off. Hustle. There was focus. There was cohesiveness. They played together. They played
ran.
Like a team.
They ran.
For the first time, it felt like in a while. And I'll tell you, it's encouraging. I'm not going to lie. It is encouraging to see that the Celtics finally have a heartbeat. Finally
I'm
had
to
some
see
sort
the,
of response.
I crushed Gordon Hayward yesterday and the day before since that Sunday game. I thought he was horrendous on Sunday. I thought he's the main problem that the Celtics have this year, because I think they're trying to get him minutes and they're trying to get him going, and it's just not happening. And then you hear he's meeting with a mental coach and like, this guy's never going to put it together. And he goes out and have a night like that last night. How about the first half? At least he woke up. At least he has a pulse. You know, they played for each other last night. And I think that's the biggest thing to take out of it. Maybe they're hearing some of the chirping. And what the hell happened on that freaking flight? What did they put to bed, man? Because I said it yesterday.
Do?
You don't sit there and just stare at each other for 6 hours. That's a long-ass flight.
All right, so here's my fear about it, though. My fear is that they did it in the vein of...
They got up for the game?
It's Golden State.
Well, Houston was here. Marquee matchup on Sunday. Matinee, James Harden. Why don't you get up for that one?
I don't know.
They were flat as a pancake on Sunday.
I don't know. But they got up for this one. And it was Golden State, and so then you start to hear things, and this is exactly what they want, especially Kyrie, Mr. Flip the Switch himself. Sean Grandy, maybe this won't be the last game they play here. Like, they're going to be back here for the NBA Finals. I'd have some questions about the Warriors getting to the NBA Finals after last night, for sure. But the Celtics last night gave us at least one game where they played end-to-end, completely all-out effort, focus, everything. They brought it all together last night. They looked like a new team. They looked like a different group. They did not even look like the same team we've watched all year long. And the Warriors took part in that for them because they did not play well at all. And they had some of the issues that the Celtics have had as of late.
Mm-hmm.
So now the question is, on the back-to-back tonight, do they do it again?
They have to. They got to string a couple of these together.
Because if they don't...
It's not even about the opponent. They got to play at a consistent level for a number of games. You just can't go out there playing like that.
I look at tonight as the perfect example of, well, was last night just because it was Golden State? Or is that because you've actually found something? Or you've managed to put your issues aside and you've figured out whatever your problems are. That you've cleared the air. That 6-hour flight to the West Coast, you laid it all out on the line and there was some sort of come to Jesus moment on that airplane.
I don't know how you don't talk to Jaylen Brown after he uses the word and just throws it out there, toxic. How is that not addressed on the plane or in a one-on-one or in a group meeting or something?
How'd Jaylen Brown look last night?
Physical.
Engaged.
Physical.
Physical, yeah. Like many other players.
A dunk? Good God.
Great dunk. A lot of times I don't care for the dunk. It's just, okay.
No, but you have to do it. I want the emphatic
sometimes
one.
The dunk is a representative of the energy the team is bringing to the floor. Right. Last night I felt that was the case.
It's a nice dunk by Hayward. Hang on the rim a little bit. See that?
Now, the game was well in hand when you also had Boogie Cousins getting into it with Aaron Baines. And you saw something there in that moment that I don't think this team has had either. Where Baines did not flop. T-Bone thought it was a flop. It wasn't a flop.
Not even, I mean,
yeah, there may have been some exaggeration.
Sure, you got to bait the guy, yeah.
But there was a lowered shoulder from Cousins. Cousins thought it was a flop, gave him some crap about it, leans over him, Baines gets up, Tatum gets involved, and then Terry Rozier was ready to throw down with Boogie Cousins, was ready to go.
That would have went well.
I don't care if it went. Just the fact that he was able and willing to stand there and take on a guy that much bigger than him.
Which I don't know which player it was in the players only. We kept going, Youngstown, Ohio.
I don't know who that was.
He's not going to back down from anybody.
Street cred. That's how we do it in the streets there.
And he's not.
Yeah, Y-Town.
And I'm glad that didn't actually result in any sort of actual fighting because he would have got crushed. But I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the fact that they gave a damn last night.
Yeah.
They played like they gave a crap again. Now, the question really is why? Why did they care last night? Is it because they've had enough of playing the way they had been playing, or is it because, hey, there's a chance to, beat a good team, beat the Warriors, and get some attention for it, and be able to say, we can flip the switch when we feel like it. And here's something else, though. You legitimately feel like they might have the ability to flip that switch.
Yeah, that's why I'm not saying this season's over, and I said that after ripping their ass for 2 days here this week. So I'm not dead on them, and I want to keep Kyrie. I want to get Kyrie. I want to add Davis. I want to keep going with this thing. But to think that the young guys could flip a switch now, that'd be great. That would be great. But they showed heart last night.
They played like a team. They had
unbelievable.
38 defensively. They had 38 assists on 49 baskets.
The ball movement was ridiculous
at
times.
They had five guys that took four or more threes, but not one guy took more than six. They had a bunch of guys taking the same amount of shots, a bunch of guys. Gordon Hayward scored a bunch of points on his shots. Everybody else, 16, 17 shots, 19 points. 15 shots, 16 points. That's what they did. They moved the ball, and they played like a team. They haven't done that in forever.
Yeah, they're 19-4 when Hayward scores 12 or more. If he can give you that, not even 30 points, give you freaking 15 points a night consistently, this team might be all right.
Now, when he meets with his basketball shrink, I think they should show him the video of last night's game.
Hang on, rim.
Hang on the rim. Use your claws.
See the bench?
All that stuff. Yeah. Use the tape from last night's game.
How about the open court steal?
Put him in his happy place.
Yeah. Cross-court pass, and he just goes out and jumps the pass and takes it for a layup. That's the type of thing that gets exciting to see about him.
That's use your claws.
Yeah.
That's what that one is. Use your claws.
It's basketball IQ there.
Be aggressive.
Yeah.
Show him last night's tape. Just keep showing him last night's tape. I don't know what happened on that flight.
He had a nice white uniform.
But there was
I love the white.
A real difference in how the Celtics approached that game last night than how they had approached any game in recent memory. And I hope it's not just because it was Golden State. I hope it was because they just have sort of hit, they had hit their bottom, right?
At some point, and Parcells said this to us too, when we were like, we haven't won a game in 9 games, and he came in at halftime of that Arizona game and he threw a cooler. Because when the hell are you guys going to get sick of losing? When are you going to show some pride? Maybe that's part of it here with them. At some point, you've got to You got to stop the bleeding. And it's not that Stevens did anything. We'll ask him, what the hell can you do? Well, how do you bottle up last night and keep it going that way?
By the way, the final score, 128-95. That is that should tell you that Golden State did not play well and played horribly in this game.
Yeah, so what is it?
And all the same questions you've had about heart and desire and hustle with the Celtics, everybody who's a fan of Golden State should be asking those questions of their team today. And I will say, there was something encouraging post-game from the other side.
Yeah.
From Golden State's side
bitching?
Last night.
Were they bitching, pointing fingers?
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But it was a great win. And I think if they'd played that way against any team, we would be giving them the credit for waking up and playing that way for a night.
But against any team, I don't know about that.
No, my question is this. Would they have done it against any other team?
There you go.
Would they have done it against, you know, Charlotte or whoever? Name whatever terrible, you know, non-marquee team you want. Would they have done it if Sacramento was the first game on the trip? And tonight was Golden State.
That's a great question. You know? Same plane ride, same trip, same demarcation of the schedule.
Right. Would they have done it if Sacramento was the first game on the trip? And
the
Golden State was the second.
The opponent didn't matter for me as a fan last night.
And the score shouldn't either. It's
about how they played.
Yeah, it's
about
product.
What they did, but I hope that didn't matter to them either. That's my hope.
Yeah. My fear is it totally did.
So are they more of what you saw last night, or are they more of the team you've seen for the last 2 weeks? Like to what Wick said, we could either get knocked out in the first round or we could go to the finals. What are they?
Well, right now, the bigger sample is the team that gets knocked out in the first round.
That's what I think.
And
That's a good win, but I think I'm going to be cautious. I need to see a bunch of these strung together. See if they turn it around.
I don't know if you even need a bunch. I think you just need a week's worth.
You need effort.
Give me a week of this.
No lackadaisical defense when you pick it, run, get in transition. They did everything yesterday. Everything.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
DeBrusque steals from Falk. DeBrusque spins in middle. Krejci scores! The Bruins come from 2-down. Fend off Carolina and strip the Whale of its blubber. Burn them!
Yeah, suck on that, Carolina. Outside of the Bruins having some mental mistakes early in the game last night in a first period that felt like it took forever. A lot of whistles.
It did
a lot
take,
of penalties.
First period took forever.
Too many men on the ice.
They're due for a clunker, man.
Holy crap. You saw Marcus Johansson get knocked into next week.
Yeah, JoJo.
Man, he got crushed on that one. Got crushed by Michael Ferland, who then got into a fight with David Backes, which I loved. Did anyone else like that?
Yeah, Backes loves to fight.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And if he has to go off, I'm okay with that.
Our friend
Not
Billy,
a great loss these days.
Billy Jaffe was talking about it with Fred this morning and Wallach and Jones, and he said that's basically all he can do at this point.
And by the way, there was nothing dirty about the hit. There was nothing dirty about the hit whatsoever. Completely clean hit, just a hard, big hit. Two big boys getting into a big hit, that hit and knocked each other to the ice. But then you had two big guys fighting. When Ferland took on Backes, they obviously both agreed to it. They talked about it before the faceoff. And it just felt like there was a bit of a physical response last night from the Bruins after that happened. It was a physical, gritty game early. They responded, but then sort of offensively made it happen last night. That shorthanded goal with Bergeron and Marchand was a thing of freaking beauty. Just awesome. And the overtime goal was pretty good, too. How do you like Jake DeBrusque?
Oh, the TNR bump. Got him all cracked up. Well, I mean, it's all over Twitter. I wake up today and got the bump.
All right, how about Jake DeBrusque in terms of how he's
Rich
played over the last, I don't know, let's say month?
Oh, he's caught fire. He's hot. He's hot right now. Kid's got some talent, though. He gets the whole game, I think. You know, it's just, you know, born with it, the dad, everything, been around the game, and it just comes easy to him, it seems. Doesn't seem like he has to work for it. You know, just smooth. The kid
well,
is
he's
smooth.
Worked plenty this year because he hasn't looked this way all year long.
No, I'm saying he's hot as of late, like this last month.
I think you're seeing him since develop into a real player is what I think you're seeing. I think you're seeing him sort of become who he's supposed to be.
Well, and I think catching up with the speed of the game and being in the places he needs to be, you know, fundamentally, of course, it was all there. But it's like it doesn't matter if you're crashing the net and you got your stick down, if you're a half second late. You know, in his goal last night, he's there at the right time. You know, he's been there at the right time more so lately than he was before. And I think that's a speed of the game issue. It's tough to ramp up when everything is faster. Every aspect of the game is faster at this level. But it appears now that he's caught up.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, the timing part of it, too. I mean, you go back to stretches where Krug couldn't find a damn net at all, but he had chance after chance after chance. I remember talking to him a year ago. Some guys just put it in better. Like it, and I know you have to be there and be there, have the right opportunity, but Krug at times couldn't find a damn net last year. If I could just spit that out the right way.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Nebraska had six goals in the playoffs last year in 12 games.
Think about it though. Like, I mean, guys like him, Achari, like a big game kind of guy. Kid. You know, I mean it's nice to have Marshawn and Bergeron do stuff and the way Krejci's been playing, but you're getting it out of everybody. You know, the whole team's playing well.
617-779-0985. Celtics win last night. Bruins win last night. We're talking about both of those items. John is in Medway. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey. Good.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I think myself personally anyway, I think last night was a bonding moment for the Celtics. I've been waiting all year for this. I'm an old ball player, but sometimes when you're around town and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's adversity and all that stuff. And you just have to get out of town, get on the road. And you just have to clear your head and pull together as a team, which they did last night. And do what they did. That's all I'm saying. I think I've been waiting all year for this. And I think it's great that happened last night. And that's all I'm saying.
Well, it's a great start to the road trip. And we talked about this, too. Sometimes, you know, you get on the road, you come together. You sort of get away from, you know, being at home. If they go out and have a couple clunkers after this, and, you know,
who's
you're back
this,
to score
Scotty?
One. Yeah. I used to live in Medway. Good. I used to live in Medway.
Old Milford quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
Milford high school.
Oh, yeah? What year did you get out of here?
82.
Nice. How far? You still throw it over that mountain?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was down at training camp when Drew Bledsoe went down and
I was
Tom
down
Brady
with him. Yep.
Came in.
Yep.
I, you know, I tried to help out a little bit and shit. I was kind of throwing
whoa,
on the sideline.
Whoa. That's a no-no. Can't say that.
So
who's this?
I missed this
two
part.
Guys reliving the glory days.
I missed
That's
this
all?
Part where John used to come down. John, right? John from Medway?
Yeah.
Used to come down to camp and help us throw. It's pretty cool.
What, that didn't happen? You saying that didn't happen?
I used to help the guys out throwing.
Used to help. Yeah. Derek's in Foxborough. Hey, Derek.
Oh, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, Derek?
Hey, what's up? You know, I think this could be a turning point for the season because what makes this win different is it was beginning to end. They went up 11-0, and usually, you know, they have a one or two bad quarters in the middle of the game and give it away. But this was just domination from beginning to end. And so I know you were really, you know, getting on Gordon Hayward, but, I mean, this guy's ankle snapped in half. I mean, it's going to take time to, you know, for him to get going. And
Derek, you obviously listen to the show a lot. I think we've been pretty fair with Hayward to say that, you know, we've been giving him time to get up and going, right? We've been overly critical until this week.
Paul George, it took him over a year to, you know, to really get back.
I'm just saying I'd like to see less minutes if he was going to give you what he's been giving you. But if he gives you what he did last night, fine. You know, I think we've been good with Hayward, though. We haven't crushed him from day one.
I love Hayward. He's my favorite player.
Oh. We'll have to have one. Well, I don't think that what you're seeing from him right now in terms of last night is what we've seen all year.
I've seen
it just isn't. We haven't seen that. That's his best game he's ever played as a Celtic.
Well, doesn't he usually score a ton when, like, Jaylen Brown's not in?
Minnesota game earlier this year was good, too. He had 36 or something.
There was no Jaylen Brown, though, right?
I think last night, though, is a better performance from him than maybe some of these other games where he's put up 30-plus, because he's put up more than 30 points, I think, three times this season. So I look at last night, look at the situation, look at the spot, look at the fact that everyone was playing, and he was a part of that and sort of was within the group and did what he did. Scott's in Weymouth. Hey, Scott.
What's up, Bertrand? What's up, Zola?
Hey, what's up?
Got
it. You with us, Hardy?
I'm right here.
Boom.
What's up? Boom. Here we go. Listen, real quick, Bertrand, in and out in 30 seconds. Bruins, this is a dangerous part of their schedule right now, by the way. They're in a 6-game homestand. I can't believe what happened last night. When they were down 2-0, I'm like, yeah, they would do it to lose one at home. They're dead. You know, they're
due for a clunker.
Now, hold on. Don't dump yet, Bertrand. Listen. They're going to lose the next 1 or 2 games, and that's okay, They're going to. They can't keep this torrid pace up. But as I said to you,
I thought last night would have been one of those nights.
Yeah. Me too.
For the Bruins, I'm like, okay.
I bet on them. I had $100 on them. I couldn't believe I won. Dude, this team is, oh.
Wait a minute. Scott, I'm putting you on hold.
So he thought they were going to get smoked last night, but he put $100 on
them. They were going to lose.
Yep. I love our fans.
So he bet $100 on them and was shocked to win. Is that what you just said, Scott? Oh, damn it. I hung up by accident.
Double reverse
Scott,
jinx.
Scott, call us back. We'll put you right back on.
Double reverse jinx. Very crafty. You bet on them.
Psychology.
Because you think they're going to lose, which makes them win. Think about it. And thank him.
No, I'm not going to do that. Oh, okay. All right.
He called back.
Hold on, he's back.
He's back. Good.
He's back. Scott, sorry about that.
Pull me back up. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm on fire, kid.
You're back up. So,
am I on the air?
Yeah, you're right on the air. Of course.
All right. Cool. Listen, as I said about 6 weeks ago on this.
Hold on. I want to ask you about the bet though again.
Yes, sir.
So you bet the $100 thinking they were going to lose.
Not thinking they were going to lose, but just I've been down this road before. I'm an old man. I'm 42. Like I know.
She said, "Hell with it. You got money to throw around."
I got no money. Can I borrow 100 in case I lose tomorrow night? Because they're going to lose coming up soon. You can't keep up this torrid pace.
So are you going to bet on them coming up tomorrow night at home? Another home game?
I'm a degenerate gambler, okay? You got me admitted on the air. I'm a degenerate. No, but listen. Let me get to my point. Bertrand, if you hit the dump button, I'm gonna be very angry.
I let you right back on. It was an accident.
Thank you. Now, listen. They're in the middle of a 6-game homestand. This team is on fire. I only wish the playoffs started tomorrow. That's what scares me. So don't be afraid. They are going to lose probably tomorrow night or whenever the next game. And that 6-game homestand is unheard of, by the way. They probably
you
do
mentioned
that
it five times. Come on.
All right, here we go. Let me get to the crux. As I said on this show 6 weeks ago, may just see it, Bertrand and Zolak and Hardy. We may see it. All four teams winning in consecutive order. Red Sox, done. Pats, done. Bruins, looking pretty good. And the Celtics, if they can get their heads out of there, you know what? They just may do it, too. Could you imagine if we get four consecutive in a row? Bertrand, thank you for the time, brother. I'm listening.
Okay, thanks, Scott. Mark. Appreciate it. I'm not buying in on that thing yet. Although my feelings on the Bruins are I feel better and better about them by the game.
Wait a sec. You're not buying into all four teams winning the championship in order or in a calendar year?
Not this particular year yet. No.
Why not?
Come on. Have you seen the Celtics?
You're 25% of the way there. How could you not?
You're halfway there.
50.
You're halfway there.
Oh, you're going to do the Tiger Slam?
Yeah, Tiger. It's a Tiger Slam.
You just got to do it in order.
You just got to do it in order.
Yeah. October's the last one.
And all these seasons started in 2018.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. It's really the 2018 season
For
baseball, football, 2018-19 for both.
Which parade was a nice day?
I don't think if you were to say, to do it in 1 year, I don't think you would start it in June with Bruins or Celtics and then say, and then the 2019. No, I don't think you would do it that way. I think you start with baseball and you go from that. That's the first season that starts in the calendar year.
You're right.
Baseball is the first season to start.
The football
year
carries over to the next year. You play in February, even though really it's a 2018
season.
It's just
tough for me to think of last year's Red Sox as the, especially for the NBA, which won't finish up until June, late June. But I understand. They all start in the same calendar year, 2018.
Right. You don't have to win them all in the same calendar year.
Correct.
You have to. I get it.
Yeah.
You start each year.
Yeah. Boom.
Boom.
Are we having fun? 10:50?
No, 11:50.
Scheduled fun is
mandated fun. Mandated fun at 11:50.
Like Jim tells us we have recess. Like, hey, you guys got a snack and then we do recess.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I was watching CP talk the other night about, like, coming here and getting a win. And, you know, in the regular season, it's always great to have great matchups against great teams. But you hope that everybody can be healthy. And, you know, if not, then you want to take advantage of, you know, the offensive and defensive schemes where you can. And I think we did a great job of that tonight. But there was just a sense of togetherness, and we were having some fun out there.
Kyrie Irving last night talking about the sense of togetherness with the team. Wow, what a difference a day makes for that guy, for the entire team.
It's been a hell of a plane ride.
That felt different. That felt nice. He's talking about being together, playing as a team. This was great.
Well, it looked like it.
He's got an upbeat tone to him, right? He sounded upbeat.
Sound like a leader.
And then he does his old Kyrie thing.
You know, we all haven't been feeling too great, you know, as of late. So it's not short of that. And, you know, it's a choice that we all had to make, you know, being down, you know, with 17 or 18 games left and knowing what we're gearing up for. You know, it's my job to show these guys what it's like to be at that type of level on a consistent basis. And, you know, with my attitude and with my effort and, you know, being able to give confidence to these guys, it's just as important as, you know, me, you know, being who I'm supposed to be. So as long as my teammates are feeling good, then, you know, we're in a good place.
So that was back to the, you know, yesterday. Remember when we were talking about where you put Braun, KD, and him in the same sentence? Like, I'm up there with them. That sort of kicks you back to that those type of comments.
No, me. I think they're different. They're in a different vein.
Me,
this
me,
is,
me.
This is about
me, leader, me.
We won because of my attitude.
Yeah. Sounds like I elevated them.
And you know what's sad?
It's my job to get them.
You know what's
like
sad?
Me.
Maybe Kyrie decided to stop being so miserable, and it actually did have a positive impact on his teammates. And because of that, he now wants to take credit for the game. It's so high and mighty. He thinks he is so much better than the other players on this team. It's sort of disgusting.
Oh, he is.
I have to show these guys how to win at this level. In the regular season, on March 6th or March 5th, you have to show them how to win, Kyrie? I thought the regular season was BS. I thought the regular season didn't matter. And now he has to show them the way, how to be able to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's my job to show these guys what it's like to be at that type of level on a consistent basis.
And, how do you think that plays?
With my attitude and with my effort and being able to give confidence to these guys, it's just as important as...
My attitude and my effort was what gave these guys confidence tonight.
Oh, really? Because you weren't there. You weren't there in the Eastern Conference Finals when they took it to Game 7, right?
Oh, that is the
worst.
Didn't
those guys do that? Don't they know how to elevate? Don't they know what it takes?
That's where he lost me last night.
He was so good up to that point, right?
This is because of me.
Yeah. It's my job to show that.
It feels good to be able to give everyone else here confidence. Who the hell said it all came from you? We had a decision to make, right? He says, we there. Did the entire team have a decision to make, or did Kyrie have the biggest decision to make? Which was, are you going to continue to go through this season the way you are, the way you've acted, being, I don't know, depressed or angry or miserable in some way? What? You had a decision to make. And obviously you've decided to go about it with a more positive attitude. Because last night he did sound positive. But he still can't get out of his own way after the game. It's still all about him.
Yeah.
To be able to give these guys confidence. It feels so good.
I am the show.
I gave them the confidence to come out here and play well.
Oh, it's his job to do that.
Oh, my God. That is the opposite of togetherness. That is the opposite of team, and that is not good leadership. Can you imagine being one of his teammates hearing that?
That pissed me off because
I played well because of you.
Like, they got to deal with him. You know, you have to deal with him. You have to understand what this league is, and you got to know your role and you got to know your spots. But you got to sit there and say, "Hey, we went on a deep playoff run last year. That's a deep playoff."
It's like Kyrie believes his team can do nothing without him.
Right?
Nothing. That the only way they will do anything is because he allowed it or he decided it was going to happen that way.
He willed them last night.
That is brutal. He needs to, you know what? I mean, listen, regardless of his future in the NBA, in terms of where he goes or if he's staying here or he's going elsewhere, he's got to drop that thing. Someone's got to get to him and say, you sound like an a-hole. You sound like a jerk to your teammates. That's not good leadership, dude. That's just going to rub people the wrong way forever.
That's the
you're going to piss off your teammates until the end of time with this crap.
More importantly, your coach. You know, on a night like that where the team comes together and plays together, you make it about you. That pisses coaches off. I'm sure it pisses this guy off.
He did, though, indicate that something happened on the airplane. Long plane ride to the West Coast.
That long plane ride helped us out. I'll just say that. That long plane ride helped us out.
Told you.
You know, we needed it. We needed it.
Called it.
It was just, we were going to get to a point where we were just going to get tired of, you know, fighting each other, fighting, you know, the outside world. And it doesn't really matter. So we just want to come out here and just play basketball. This is our sanctuary, and we have to do everything to protect it. We can't let anybody infiltrate this. So.
He said fighting each other. He said there's infighting. That's how I took that. Yeah. I took that literally.
I took that as a closed-door meeting on that tube.
There is infighting within the team, which I'm sure is the case. And we're also fighting the outside world, which is we're all getting snippy with the media. And we're all saying things to the media we probably shouldn't be saying. Jaylen Brown. I love the quote. It's toxic in here. But, you know, is that helping the team? Does that help the team that Jaylen Brown tells Gary Washburn, this thing's toxic? That doesn't help. That doesn't do anything for the team. It really doesn't. As much as we love it, talk radio guys. All right. Some truth. We love the truth. We love what he's saying. I'll never tell a player not to talk. I always prefer they talk, Zoe. You know that?
Right. Yeah, you said that yesterday. You'd rather him talk more.
Good or bad.
Talking more. You're like, shut up.
Good or bad, I want it.
Right.
I want to hear from you.
He gives good mic. He sure does. Hey, we have infighting, right? We all fight. I fight hardy every day. But yet, I carry him based on the way I lead.
This to me is a positive. So this is where...
So I put that behind me.
This is
and
where
I
Kyrie,
know that through my experience, I need to carry you.
I understand.
This is where Kyrie gets credit, though. Because if you say that what Jaylen Brown did is bad for the team, what Kyrie did in that quote, that is a good thing. That's saying, hey... Yep, we did have infighting, and we've all decided that we want to put that behind us, and we all actually work together to move on from that. That helps kill a storyline. That's a good thing.
Wouldn't you like
That's
to know
good, Mike. Good usage of the media, where you're revealing something and you're being honest, but it's also helpful to put that out there. So credit to Kyrie for that, even if it wasn't planned that way. If you're going to say Jaylen Brown doesn't help the team in what he said, well, then Kyrie did last night.
You know, I don't know who had the balls to stand up and say something. The reverse part of David Price. When Eckersley got on the plane and David Price starts heckling him and then they all gang up on him, you know, he had the balls to at least confront Eck. Who had the balls to stand up and say, let's go, let's air this out?
Well, what I think this shows is that maybe, hopefully, there isn't a legit bad guy on the team, because you can tell the guys are going to say things that strike you the wrong way after a loss. But if guys are saying things that rub you the wrong way after a win, that's a real jerk, right? And I'm not going to oversimplify it to the point that I made weeks ago when this started happening. I said, you know what? You know what the problem is with this team? They're not winning enough. You know, it's amazing how much better everybody gets along and how there's very little drama when you're winning. So when you're losing, all this stuff gets amplified. After a win against Golden State, I'm not going to oversimplify it to say, see, told you, all you needed was a big win and everything's hunky-dory again. But I will say this, no one seemed to add any more fuel to that fire after that win last night. And if you do, because sometimes that happens, we've seen LeBron do it, we've seen other players do it, guys who thought they were bigger and above the team, and after a big win, they just can't let it go. They can't stop with the drama. There's no drama last night. In a very dramatic win, there's no added drama to it. So hopefully that's an indicative of this clubhouse being, locker room being fixable. Not toxic, just a little broken. You know, the toxic and broken are two different things.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, right from the beginning, just the level of competition wasn't where it needed to be. You know, it was 11-0 in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and looked to me like we were jogging up the floor. You can't play basketball jogging. You got to sprint. Your cuts have to be hard. You got to be going all out, and we did not go all out, and it was embarrassing.
That was Steve Kerr last night after his team lost, calling it embarrassing.
Yogging.
Some of the yogging that was going on there.
Is this just that league? Like, they just get bored at times and just don't want to play? Is it really that? It's a team that's won, has strung some championships together.
Well, you've got to remember that This is a team that's had some reported issues behind the scenes. Even when they won.
Oh,
remember last year? Remember last year when they won?
Yeah.
And it started with, oh, if you only knew what happened behind the scenes with this team this year. Remember that? We're all like, what? Are you kidding me? You went out and crushed, you know, for the most part. You went out and crushed a lot of teams.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? And then this year, the start of the year, you know, Kevin Durant and Iguodala getting into it and, you know, him blasting him for you leaving at the end of the year. Speaking of which, Kevin Durant spoke after the game last night. And hearing this just made me feel better about the Celtics situation in this way. I said to myself, at least they're not that bad. At least they don't have these types of issues. You just heard Steve Kerr. Now you're Kevin Durant.
Well, there's been games where they haven't moved. Or the Celtics look like they're not moving or just not engaged. So, I mean, it's still the same issues, right?
Do you want to hear Durant?
Oh, I didn't hear you. Oh. Say. Oh, okay.
My bad. Obviously, another slow start, and Kerr's mentioning it didn't have the, I guess, intensity or even
who?
Mentioned the Steve Kerr or even the anger. Did you sense that? And does this team need a little more anger sometimes?
I thought we move off of joy. Now anger.
What'd your coach say?
Oh, okay. I disagree with that one. I mean, we just got to. I think all around, top to bottom, coaches, players, we just got to be better.
It's a Celtic thing. The Celtics have been saying that we got to play better.
That is. Are you listening to what he's saying?
Who? Like who? Who's Kerr?
He's calling out his coach openly at the podium. Celtics haven't dealt with that.
No, Kyrie said it.
Oh, I thought he told us to play with joy, not anger. Now it's anger?
No. He's openly questioning everything.
Kyrie said that last week about the defense. Remember, you had to take a shortcut.
No, he didn't.
Why don't you go ask Brad about that?
Yeah, he did. Threw it right in Brad's lap.
Yeah, as part of...
It's kind of the same thing to me.
As part of him just trying to deflect and give non-answers. Nothing like that has happened here. That has not happened here this season.
Who?
Who?
Oh.
Oh, that guy?
Oh, yeah. Coaches. Oh.
How much disdain did he show right there for Steve Kerr, who, by the way, has won something. Multiple championships, multiple titles.
You mentioned the Steve Kerr.
He knew right away when he cut into him there.
On
he knew
team,
it was Kerr.
On a team where they won. They've won before. It's not like you're questioning a guy who's never made it to that level before. You're talking about a guy who's been pretty good on the job since he got there. Who? Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I disagree with that.
Wow.
And then questioning what he had said previously. Oh, I thought we were supposed to play with joy. Now we have to play with anger?
That's an Adalys Thomas shot right there.
Oh, man.
Why don't you go ask Bill?
That just made me feel better. I'm like, oh, at least they're not them. At least they're not Golden State with those issues. Wow. Kevin Durant. Hello. Very upset. Got an email.
Oh.
Listener email. If you don't mind.
Oh. Email of the day type?
It might be. No, it might be. It's going to lead us right into our next clip.
It's worth you talking about.
It's going to lead us right into what we're about to play you on the latest on the rumor front with Kyrie and Durant. You want to give an email of the day status? We can.
Email of the day.
From Brandon. Brandon writes this morning, Beetle, I know the talk has been Kyrie leaving. He hates the team. Everyone is happy, etc. I'm sick of him, but he is obviously incredibly talented. And I know the only talk is that the only way to really keep him is to clear out some of the team and bring in Anthony Davis. This may be far-fetched, and I'm not sure possible. But wouldn't it be possible the Celtics make a sign-and-trade for Kevin Durant? If the Warriors are worried he is leaving no matter what, why not move him for some talent? Could include a package of some mix of Hayward, Smart, Rozier, Brown, and picks. So basically... anybody on the roster but Tatum. Durant has had us on his list before. Why wouldn't he now, especially when the two best friends could play on the same team together for the foreseeable future?
Didn't he move all his stuff to New York? Like all of his companies and everything he's involved with?
Yes.
And didn't he base everything, just ship it?
Yes.
That's the new headquarters. He's going to the Knicks.
Maybe.
He ain't going to come here.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Here's Brian Windhorst, ESPN.
It's not impossible for the Celtics to get their hands on Kevin Durant this offseason. I know that everybody's assuming that
Brian Windhorst, you just backed off being controversial in the last segment.
I'm not saying I think it's going to happen. I'm just saying it's not impossible.
Okay, so lay it out for me.
Well, they have the assets to trade for Anthony Davis. Kevin Durant is a, he can be signed and traded. There's no, you know, they could work out a deal. Remember that the team that finished in second place when he signed with the Warriors was Boston. So when people look at Kyrie and KD, I think they automatically assume it's just going to be in New York. There's other teams out there that can do it. Boston, heck, other teams have.
You're saying that Boston would trade for Anthony Davis and then trade him to the Warriors for a sign and trade for KD?
No.
What are we saying?
No, I'm saying that the Celtics have assets.
Oh, okay.
They can trade for Anthony Davis, but they could also, in theory, if Kevin Durant wanted to play there.
Sign and trade.
I'm just saying, don't just assume because KD and Kyrie have a relationship that they only would want to potentially play together in New York. And here we have Kevin praising the Celtics.
Okay. Hear me out here. Okay, well, this is new, and this is good.
Brian Windhorst on The Jump on ESPN yesterday afternoon.
So Danny's guy is Anthony Davis. And we always say, well, how do you know that Kyrie's going to stay? What if you – because you got to do Anthony Davis first.
Whoa. Another guy of Danny's is Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Two players he's long lusted for.
If you're Kyrie and say you like Durant better, you want to play with Durant, don't you have to go to Danny and say, hey, Danny, I've been hearing all this stuff on the outside. I know it's Anthony Davis you're looking at, and this, and I'd love to play with Anthony Davis, but listen to me. I could get KD to come here. I want KD, and I will ink a long-term deal also with that. Handshake deal, get KD, pull off a trade. I'll sign whatever you want me to sign. That could be a possibility because these guys, they call the shots, right, of who they want to play with. They form these teams. Durant went there because he couldn't beat them. I'd rather see Anthony Davis. Kevin Durant's a good player. I just don't like the way he did what he did.
I'd rather it be whoever is going to keep Kyrie here.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's likely Durant.
Durant, it seems like the way you look at these guys move together and talk, and like they're guys, man. Like
Celtics, so let me get this straight.
Look at
Celtics
this now.
Don't get Anthony Davis. They keep Kyrie and they get Kevin Durant. Well, I could do that.
And now,
I'd be okay with that.
You don't have to roll out Tom Brady and Kelly Olynyk.
And keep Tatum? Is that a possibility in all of this?
Yeah.
And you still keep Tatum? Oh, okay. Is Al Horford still opting out if that's the case? Probably not, right?
No, I'd say opt in, yeah.
The doomsday of yesterday could be completely different.
And Kyrie might control that.
The difference a day makes. Unreal.
Maybe that would get Kyrie happy. Maybe Kyrie met with him out there and had dinner.
Possible.
Yeah, maybe that's why Kyrie's in a good mood out there.
Certainly
and decided
possible.
To play well and lead his team the way he said he did. He showed them. Ugh.
Kevin Durant's got 5 years on Anthony Davis. As long as we're just daydreaming here.
Yeah.
He's 30.
Different player.
Yeah. Okay, he's got 3 or 4 good years left.
Anthony Davis has how many more good years left at 25?
10.
8, 10?
Eight minimum.
We'll say 8.
Just careful what you wish for. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's...
But
he's a
Hardy.
Durant's a
Hardy.
But if you could definitely lock Kyrie up.
If you're talking about Kevin Durant who's willing to come to Boston and wants to join Kyrie in Boston.
Yeah, I'm good.
An unwilling Anthony Davis who wants to think about bolting in a year.
You need to trade the farm away in order to get him.
Durant.
He's just going
to bolt. Emotions aside, right. You can make a case that the better case is Durant there just based on the trade stuff that would need to fly.
How about keeping Kyrie in check? If Anthony Davis came here, Kyrie would treat him like a kid too.
Yep.
Kevin Durant, he won't treat him that way.
That's right, because he
finally have a peer.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.